The scripture reading today is Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 35, the coming of the kingdom of God. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building, but the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the roof of his house with his goods inside should go down to get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left."
Father, may your word, the word that has been given to us, the word which is simply inspired by the breath of yourself, may this word fill our hearts and lives. May we understand and may we live by this word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Caught fire. You caught fire?
Yeah.
I missed it.
Yes, we're playing.
Oh. I'm glad your eyes were open during prayer. Yes, yes. Good job. It belongs to little children, but apparently it doesn't belong to the rich. It has been described as a mustard seed, a king, a treasure, and a field. It's also been described as weeds in a field, or maybe yeast. No, it's been described as a net. And then again, it's supposed to be like a landowner. It is near, but it's far. It's now, but it's not yet. It's not of this world, but it's all around us. It's joyous like a wedding banquet, but it's also like young girls who are waiting for a wedding to come, and there are some smart ones, and yet there are some not so smart ones. It is supposed to be the one thing that we seek above and beyond anything else. It is the kingdom of God. If you've spent any time in church, if you have spent any time learning about anything having to do with our faith, the kingdom of God is not a new term for you. We're big on the kingdom of God. We talk about it for a long time. We pray about it. We just don't describe it very well. We really don't have much experience with what a kingdom is. We understand elections. We understand elected officials. And the only thing we really know about kings and queens is that England has one and she doesn't seem to do a lot. She's beloved, just not overly active. We also know that if we don't like our current leaders, we can vote them out. We can recall them if they're really bad. But we don't know much about a king. Kings have life and death authority. Kings have absolute authority. They have full power. And we tend to bristle at that. We don't like anyone with full power. You know, we like to say that, you know, if the president were to come here and say something we didn't like, we could say, "Well, thank you very much for being here. Come back again." We don't tend to like power over us. We tend to We tend to like to be our own authority. Oh, but we do sing. We do like to say things like, Jesus is Lord and he's King of Kings. They sound nice, but the full implications often drift away. You know, we sing a song, he is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We like that song. We sing it on a regular basis. Do we believe it? Do we act upon it? Do we live by it? To say that Jesus was Lord in his day was a very dangerous thing to do. You see, there was only one Lord, and his name was Caesar, whether it was Tiberius or whether it was Claudius, Augustus, or Nero. The Caesar alone was absolute Lord. To be Lord meant you have life and death, absolute authority over everyone in the community. And some of them were okay, but some of them were seriously unhinged. But to say that Jesus is Lord is to say that in our world and in our time, there is no one who has greater authority, there is no one who has greater power, there is no one who has more sway over our lives than Jesus Christ. We are in absolute submission to him. His word is law. His word is how we live. He is the absolute authority in our lives. Do we believe that? Do we believe that we are part of his kingdom? Do we believe that we live in order that his kingdom shall reign and his authority shall be known? Do we live in the kingdom of God? And you're going, well, we really don't know what the kingdom of God is. Well, if you open your bulletins and take out that thin little piece of paper, this is the eighth one. You should be getting used to this by now. Open this up. This might be the ninth one. And it says, the kingdom of God is this. The kingdom of God is the rule of God breaking into the history through Jesus Christ, working in the world and expressed in the hearts of his people, both now and throughout eternity. This is a confirmation catechism question. What is the kingdom of God? And in order that we can behave right, we have to understand right. We have to think right. In order that what we do is in line with God, we have to understand who God is and what he expects of us. And the kingdom of God is God's rule breaking into history through Jesus Christ, working in the world and expressed in the hearts of his people both now and throughout eternity. The Bible is replete with this. In terms of the rule of God, the kingdom of God is a rule of God. Psalm 103, verse 19, God has established his throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. Israel said, God's the boss. God is absolute. God has absolute authority and sway over our lives. How many of you remember this prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you think that anything God says or thinks or wants in heaven is accomplished? That there's anything left undone in heaven that God desires? Nothing. May that absolute authority be transferred to earth. We pray that on a regular basis. Do we want it? Do we believe it? Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Therefore, since we are receiving the kingdom that cannot be shaken, let's be thankful. Since we're receiving something from God that is absolute, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptedly with reverence and awe, because our God is a power. Our God is a consuming fire. Sometimes it's good for us to remember who it is we serve. We serve the one who by very words alone created everything we see and know. He brings universes into existence by his very word. We serve a God who has absolute ability to bring life and to bring death. We believe that this is our God. We believe this is the one that we serve. Sometimes I think we have downsized God, sort of diminished his capacity. We have made him so that we're comfortable with him, that we can kind of deal with who he is. And we've made him into someone who is a lovable and cuddly companion. And that's not who we serve. We serve the one who has absolute authority. And he is bringing this authority in his kingdom by bringing it through Jesus Christ. In Matthew, the beginning, Jesus said, repent, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is near. And he says in the Sermon on the Mount, listen, you need to seek his kingdom first with absolute priority. His righteousness first with absolute priority, and everything else you desire will somehow fall into place. It's going to work into the lives, and it's going to be expressed in the hearts and lives of his people, both now and throughout eternity. That's you and I. That is you and I. His will and desire, it's going to be expressed in who we are. Remember what Jesus said, not the smallest letter, not the least little bit dot on the law is ever going to go away. The law will be fulfilled. Therefore, anyone who sets aside the least of these commands and teaches others to do accordingly, they're going to be the least in the kingdom. But those who teach and you will obey and do what God desires, you will be the greatest in authority. And he looks at his disciples and they look with surprise when he said, your righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, or you won't get in the kingdom. And they're thinking, how in the world is that ever going to happen? How in the world can that ever occur? It occurs because we follow and we love Jesus, and he becomes the absolute authority in our lives. Jesus becomes the one whom we love. You see, the kingdom of God, it's about righteousness, joy, and peace. It's about the Holy Spirit. It tells us that in Romans chapter 14. So Jesus is teaching on the kingdom. He taught about the kingdom a lot. He taught it on a regular basis, and he said, here's what I want you to know about the kingdom. And he goes into the 17th chapter of the book of Luke. And the Pharisees come and they say, Jesus, would you please tell us when the kingdom of God is going to come? And that was a very common conception. Jesus, tell us when we get to have everything we've ever wanted. When will the Messiah come? When will the Romans get the boot? When will we be a kingdom again? When will we have authority, glory, and the respect of all the nations around us? When does it get as good as we want? Isn't it amazing? Most of our theology tends to benefit our world. Most of our theology tends to benefit what we want. But if you look at the scriptures, what he has to say is often different than what we're looking for. Father, tell us when we're going to see the magnificent God coming down and taking care of everyone who's ever been mean to us. God, tell us when kingdom is going to come and the Christians are going to have the upper hand and everyone who stood against us is going to discover that we were right all along. When are those who have been evil going to get their punishment and do we get to watch? You don't think that's in the Bible? Do you remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? Do you remember that story where the rich man had everything and Lazarus got licked on by dogs and they both die? And Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham. By the way, he's laying in Abraham's lap. Not a real place I'm looking forward to, but if that's it, I'll deal with it. And they look down and there's a massive chasm all the way down there, and who should be down there suffering in hell is the rich man. You see, in the Jews' ideas, one of the great parts of heaven is you get to look down and see the suffering of your enemies. I want a good table in the restaurant tonight, God, because I want to be able to look down and I want to have a good view of the torment of my enemies. And we're too polite to want that out loud. We're too polite to say that anything out loud, maybe in the back of our minds saying, you know, one of the really great things that's going to be is that when God comes, everyone who has ever mean to us, everyone who ever spoke against us, and all those people who kill babies, they're going to get theirs. They're going to get theirs. And the Pharisees are asking the same thing. God, when does the kingdom of God come? When we get ours and those who deserve it get theirs. And Jesus said, look, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed. You are wrong. You cannot somehow, simply by looking around and checking off all the details, say, the kingdom of God is coming at this moment. People are not going to say, here it is, or there it is. You can't say that. Isn't it amazing that's what we're doing? Isn't it amazing? You can find somebody, I guarantee you, you can go online today and you'll find websites that will tell you how soon it is that Jesus is going to come because of the political ramifications that are going around us. I have heard it said that if Egypt goes to the Muslim Brotherhood. I have heard it said that if Syria goes to the Muslim Brotherhood, if Jordan goes that way, Jesus is coming good, because the Bible says when armies are surrounding Israel, that's it right there. You can't say that. You can't say, look, I've interpreted the times, I've interpreted the experiences. It says very clearly in Matthew, in Mark chapter 13, when Jesus says, look, everyone's looking around, here's your job. When everyone's trying to guess when the Son of Man is going to return, here's what you need to do. Get to work. Keep doing the work of Christ. Keep doing the work of the kingdom. You can't say, here it is, there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. This morning, I'd like to introduce you to the kingdom of God. Would you look to your left? And would you look to your right? Would you turn around behind you or look in front of you? You're going to look, there's the kingdom of God. Expressed in the hearts and lives of his people, both now and throughout eternity. When you are living according to the will of God, when you pay attention to his will, when you pay attention to his commands, you are living according to the kingdom of God. Oh, someday it's going to be fulfilled in full. And we mostly want to know when that is. Oh, would you please tell us when you're going to come? Please tell us when you're going to come. How many of you are old enough, I am, to remember that little booklet we got, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Coming in 1988? You remember that? Yeah, I got it. You remember that book? Yeah. There was a sequel, 89 Reasons Why Jesus Was Coming in 1989. I kid you not. We all want to know. And Jesus said most clearly, I don't know. The only one who knows is my Father. It's none of your business. Get to work. But know this. Soon and very soon, it's going to come. Soon and very soon, it's going to come. The time is coming when you're going to long to see the fulfillment of the days of the Son of Man, but you won't see it. You're going to be captivated. You're going to look for the signs. You're going to look for all the wonders. You're going to look for everything, and you're not going to see it. You're not going to find it. You're going to look. You're going to want to, and it's going to be delayed, and you're wondering what it is that we're supposed to be doing. How can we bring about God's eternal kingdom on this earth? People are going to tell you, there he is, or there he is, or here he is. Don't go running after them. Don't get caught up. Don't get distracted. Don't find yourself looking for and trying to interpret every little sign. Don't pay attention to them. For the Son of Man, verse 24, in his day, he'll be like lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. Do you really think when the king of the universe comes back, it's going to be hard to find? Do you really think that when the king of the universe comes, it's going to have to be an interpreted event? I don't believe so. It's going to be like lightning, able to see it from one part of the sky all the way over to the other. Do you get good lightning storms here? My first church was in Iowa. They get lightning storms. They get storms. Clouds top out at 70,000 feet. They get, sky turns black. Clouds got kind of a green fringe to it. You know something's coming. One of the farmers in my church, neat guy, brilliant guy, wanted to talk, had something weighing on his heart. He chose an evening of a thunderstorm. I mean, it was a thunderstorm. And he wanted to go out in his truck and have a ride and talk. You know, I love talking to people. I love having spiritual conversations. But it light. There was never a moment that the light wasn't that the sky wasn't bright. It was one lightning after another. It was one bolt after another. In fact, you could read the newspaper in the car, in the truck. This was at night. That's how bright the sky was. And thunder was all around us, and it's raining cats and dogs, and he's trying to have a spiritual conversation. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to see Jesus face to face that night. Lightning, it's going to, when Jesus comes back, it's not going to be a secret. It's not going to be hard to interpret. Everyone's going to be known, and it's going to be absolute. But, he says, the Son of Man is going to have to suffer many things. It's not the way that you think it happens. The truth is, I'm going to have to suffer many things, he says to his disciples. I'm going to be rejected by many. It's not how you think it's going to happen. It's not dealing with your expectations. It's going to come, but there are going to be some difficult times preceding it. And you need to be aware of that. Your job is to do the work of my Father. Your job is simply to do what we ask you to do. And in doing that, you fulfill the kingdom. In doing that, you are the kingdom. In caring for one another, in loving one another, in loving God with all that you are, your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you are the very kingdom of God, because you are living his authority being played out through Jesus Christ in your lives, both now and until I come. But he says in verse 26, 27, 28, and 29, not everyone is going to listen. Let me give you a couple of examples, just like it was in the day of Noah. Just like it was in the day of Lot, it's also going to be like it on the day of the Son of Man. Everyone who ought to know, but they're not. It's unexpected in its nature, but they shouldn't have been surprised because they were warned. Noah told them about it. Noah preached. It should never be a surprise, but it will be. People are not going to pay attention. They're going to be going about their business. Eating, drinking, marrying, being given in marriage happened all the day up to the day that Noah entered the ark and it began to rain. Can you imagine that first day? Ah, looks like it's raining. I wonder how long this is going to last. 40 days, 40 nights. You know, they had no idea. The day that they had no clue. They should have, but they don't. We live around people who have no clue. They should have, but they don't. Day of Lot. The day that Lot left the town, it was just people were going to the store. They were buying and selling, planting and building. But on that last day, destruction fell down. You see, when the Son of Man comes, it's going to be great news for some, and it's going to be horrific news for others. It shouldn't be a surprise, but it will be. It shouldn't be a surprise. But it will be. It will be like this on the day that I am revealed, Jesus says. On that day when the kingdom of God is fulfilled, on that day when you see everything doing as it is, don't worry about anything, drop everything, follow me. No one who is in a housetop with possessions inside, don't worry about them, don't go pick them up. Likewise, if you're in the field, don't go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Remember, nothing you have in that old life you want any longer. When you see Jesus comes, everything is ahead of you, nothing is behind you. And then he says what he said before. If you want to keep your life, you're going to lose it. Whoever loses your life, they will preserve it. When you talk to someone about Jesus, when you talk to them about the kingdom, when you're doing the work, have you ever explained to them that what they receive eclipses everything they don't want any longer? It's amazing how people look at Christians. We're the ones that don't have any fun. We're the ones that are trying to take life away from them. Do they have any idea the things that they're leaving behind are the destructive patterns that they don't want anymore? Have they ever thought the things that they have ahead of them in Christ far exceed any imagination that we might have of joy and good? My life? I don't need to hang on to this. I've got a better one. And if I abandon this life and I embrace Jesus Christ, I'm going to get a new life. I'm going to get a life unlike any other. But if I've got to hang on to this half-broken life, I'm going to lose all that God has in store for me. Not everyone gets to go. Not everyone gets to go. Two people are in bed, one goes, the other one doesn't. Two women are grinding, one goes, one doesn't. Not everyone gets to go. God says, look, here it is. I am calling you by name. If you choose not to come, you don't go. Into my kingdom, which is here, which is now, which is current, and it will be forever. The rule and authority of God being discovered in Jesus Christ making itself known in the lives of those who belong to Christ, both now and throughout eternity. The kingdom of God is here. It's in West Bay Covenant Church. It's in all the churches that we've prayed for. It belongs to those who belong to Jesus, because he is Lord. He is Lord. He was risen from the dead, and he is Lord. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen and amen.